All right. Thanksgiving week. Family week, wake the dead. Pardon me. It's got a little bit of moisture in the air. Although it's not going to rain at all. Darn it. Or snow or anything like that. It's just going to be a little chilly. Reminds me a little bit of California. Can smell the beach. Every once in a while we get almost that kind of, I can smell the beach sort of sensation. Today's a little bit like that. And makes me think of being on the boat back in the old days. Oh guy, how many years ago was that? Oh, 15 years ago. And anyway. And frankly, my hope for, like, Shetland. It was interesting. I woke up early on Saturday and I'm trying to put aside the family sovereignty book. You know, the power of family. Whatever. It's a working title. And I got up early, you know, 4:30 or so on a Saturday. Boy, is that the ultimate sin in the eyes of Lisa. But, you know, when you're up, you're up. And when you got something to work on, you work on it. And anyway, so I got up and I opened up what little bit of that book was done. Found out that I had thrown a bunch of stuff in there that was just junk. Wasn't even, well, most of it I just deleted for saying, why on earth was I putting that in there? It's going to be a bit of an essay book. Although I have to say that the bulk of the essays that are going to be written are for the book as opposed to being drawn from other sources at other times. Oh. You know, I don't know what, I got a promise back when we were working on the Shetland thing that at the end of this, you know, we wouldn't have any more money problems, you know. It's part of a blessing gave to Lisa. And much for me as it is for her. Since the whole Shetland process was a little confusing, because Lisa was having good, calm thoughts about it, and it's hard to interpret whether it was, everything will work out fine, don't worry, you know, stupid Jane, his stupid ideas aren't going to come to fruition, everything will be fine, or if it's okay, this is going to happen. My only impression from the whole thing was patience about it. And of course, the whole thing fell apart because it simply wasn't going to happen. It was strung along as it was because people just wouldn't. Because apparently people had gone on summer vacation for months on end. And anybody who had any knowledge of the process weren't around. And they were all supposing, oh yeah, I guess that's doable. And then when somebody came back, they said, oh, phew, no, that's undoable, can't be done. And it's like, you know, and it was a bit depressing for all the build-up and saying, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to find a way to get it done. And, and to have the door just shut on it. Telling there at the very, very end, it was just a day or two before it was just end over, was the offer to go over and go to Orkney instead. And both Lisa and I had impressions, different impressions, or just desire, I don't know if in Lisa's part if it ends up being impressions or if it ends up just being her feelings on the matter. Sometimes I don't know what the difference is. And, she was, we decided that Orkney wasn't the right way to go. You know, the goal was Shetland to, you know, even when we first began thinking about the whole thing starting in like Gia, a tiny little island off the south coast of Shetland, and then started moving our way up the inner and outer Hebrides. This is what from Stornoway and skipped right over that to go to skipped over. Kirkwall and Orkney, and I think at the time I said, that's interesting as to why I didn't consider that in the small amount of time there was to consider Orkney. It just didn't come together, and like we skipped, it was skipped over for a reason in the consideration. And went right on to Littlewick and Skelloway and larger Shetland. So a Saturday comes up, you know, and it's like, oh no, apparently we're still working on the Shetland process. As I've always said, the way these are right now, and one never knows what's going to change, let me tell you, when I was beginning the process was when all the stuff changed. If I would have begun the process just a few months earlier, we would have quite likely gone the scheme was much less onerous when they were letting more people in, and chances are it would have happened, and under the old scheme it would have we would have been able to go. I don't know what that is, you know. You think that if God was trying to help you do something, He would have helped you a little earlier. But it was a question of Lisa getting interested in the whole thing. She seemed more interested in Plan B. She got enamored of the Fairbanks. Tangent, I call it. And I think that's what got her to start packing and to get a little excited about the whole thing. Anyway, so I really do sometimes feel like I'm just some little chunk of flotsam bobbing around in a stream or a river, pulled more by circumstances over which I have no control and can exercise no opinion, being taken somewhere. You know, it's not that I mind that particularly. In fact, if anything, I'm a little impatient to see where it'll lead. Because I do feel terribly, you know, I've never felt like computers were the end thing. But, oh, you're so good at them. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm not. You know, I've always considered it the day job toward something much larger and grander, or I don't know if it's grand, something I'm supposed to be about. You know, I was talking to Lisa about it a little bit last night, for, you know, I have to go a lot by feelings. You know, this is how the spirit predominantly works. And I don't know how to separate out the spirit from your own thoughts. I may be a little lucky in that I'm somewhat dispassionate about many things. I'm supposed to be very passionate about your life and stuff like that, and where it's going, and having choice, and things like that. And I find myself in the end being kind of dispassionate about it. So when these things come, it's like, well, how much of it's just me? And you go, probably almost none of it's just me, because it's like, oh, I feel led a lot. And so I guess if I act on anything, I act on those feelings. And you know, whatever source they come from, I have to have faith that they come from God. And if they don't, then God will stop me at some point. It's a little obnoxious when it happens. You know, the whole Shetland thing. I don't think it's stopped completely. It's just, you know, it's just like, okay, hey, you gotta work on something else. You've been working on other things. It was trying to forward Shetland things that made me finish up Escape from the Navigiri Allegory, and I find that as I try to work on the next section, I am, it's just not coming very well at all, and I'm not saying that that's because the timing's not right. I have no idea. Anyway, so I work on family sovereignty and how that relates to Shetland and to Shetland's future. And last night, Lisa was going to bed. We went to bed about the typical time. But I was talking, and yes, I understand that I stutter a lot. I get stuck on words, either not knowing what word to say or not being able to get it out of my mouth. And so when I talk better, more lucidly, those things, I pay attention to those things. You know, it's almost like the waves grease for me, and I've gotten to the point to where I pay attention to those things, and when those things come and are behaving like that, that I know I'm getting help from above. I hope it's leading in the right direction. You know, and I'm not the arbiter of that. You know, I feel like my responsibility in all these things is to stay out of trouble, to be connected up to the Lord, and to be a good conduit. And always, you know, I don't know if I've always struggled about it, but lately I've struggled about the whole concept of agency. I really am an odd person. I'm probably more odd than I probably even think I am, for just being a tool, you know. And I do feel like that sometimes. I'm just a hammer wrapped in skin, or screwdriver, or whatever, you know. I'm down here to do something, and or to do several things, or whatever, and those things are, you know, and there's a statement. I think it's biblical. I'm not really sure. I heard it at the temple, so, and you're not supposed to use temple phrasing, and I apologize for that. But that plants and animals, you know, they have their existence too. They, you know, they have souls, they have spirits, and their primary purpose is to fulfill the end of their creation, and in being what they are basically obedient to God in that, so that's what they do. They fulfill the end of their creation. Whatever they were created for, they will do. And I kind of feel like I'm in that boat too. And and the more I try to assert myself, of which there is very little of me to assert, it kind of counters what God set me down here to do. You know, it's kind of like a recalcitrant dog. It doesn't want to be a dog or something. And you go, well, you know, just shut up, be a dog. This isn't anything will work out fine. You'll get everything you ever wished for. Or whatever dogs need, you'll have. Just fulfill the end of your creation. And so, I sometimes feel like that's what I'm here for, you know, and the whole attitude of, well, you know, being a sentient being is a little weird, you know. You get to choose your own course, and you go, well, I know that's true. I know that's even true for me. But it seems like my purpose is more specific, maybe, than a lot of other people's, perhaps. I have no idea what their experience is. But that there's specific things I'm supposed to do. And, you know, as opposed to being the captain of my own ship, this is I'm not, you know. Somebody else captains it. I hope to heck it's God. I hope to heck it's the Lord. Or some agent thereof. I hate to think that I was being steered by evil or some other thing. Certainly not my intent. And that when it comes to agency, that really ends up being my agency is, you know, what prompting I'm following. And that beyond that, I don't really have much of an existence. So yeah, I'm a very odd fellow, you know, and they say, oh yeah, you make choices every day about this and about that. And you go, you know, I suppose that's true. But as for being my own person, as for making my own decisions about this and that, I guess I made a decision a long time ago that, you know, I wasn't going to do that. Maybe the Christians are right. I always deign to think that the godly life was a life of puppetry. That God pulled your strings and your purpose was to be floppy so that he might act through you better. And maybe to a certain extent they're right. Although it twists my gut to think so. I don't know how unique I am or how, you know, oh no, that's what everybody's supposed to do. That was the whole idea. And you see it, but nobody else does. Or other people choose to ignore it, go their own way. I think, oh, okay, you know, I don't know. So, anyway, whatever capacity I have for it, I try to move forward on the things that I feel like I should be moving forward on. And Lisa's always felt like I'm supposed to get Navigieri done. Or she's decided to latch onto that and say, you know, you need to finish that, Jay. You don't finish anything you start. And I don't really know what to say to that. That's a very worldly, you know, not a bad thing, but, you know, it was a doctrine that was checked up by people. Because I don't see any evidence in scriptural writ that this is how God wants you to behave. You know, we always say, oh, you got to be a finisher. You know, and I guess in the large scheme of things, getting back to God, it's important to be a finisher there, to endure to the end. You go, but there's so much God needs doing, I guess. And where do those things fit in? I don't know. I remember during the whole Shetland thing, which apparently I'm still kind of working on, I always remembered hearing about a parable or a story that Christ told of a person building a tower, and that he didn't count the cost, how much it was going to take to do it. He didn't take it into account, and therefore he didn't finish. I always thought that was a thing to say. Oh no, make sure you count the cost before you go into any endeavor. You know, make sure it's doable. And that always kind of flew in the face, I thought, of a much larger body of work that was more of, don't worry too much about tomorrow, you know. Don't kill yourself in a lot of planning, you know. Consider the lilies, you know, they don't do any planning, and yet they're taking care of everything's fine. Well, that's a bunny today. The bunnies are out and about, doing what little cottontail bunnies do. And yeah, I was having problems rectifying this. And I seem to recall this summer really reading the scriptures and finding out that my concept of of counting the cost of building the tower was wrong, and I haven't gone back since then to figure out what I'm supposed to learn about that. I just came to the determination there wasn't a conflict there. That it had more to do with seeing something through. Not that you should plan out every aspect of your life. But that you should go forward. That was what I was trying to do on the Shetland thing. Even though there was loose ends, one of the biggest ones was this could cause absolute financial collapse. You know? And that was the basic thing, and that was really the thing that was bothering Lisa, you know. Lisa is very deign to get involved with anything unless she sees from the very beginning that, I don't know, it will provide her an increase in comfort, or at least a comfort level that she's accustomed to, things like that. You know, I'm ready to throw caution to the wind sometimes if I feel like it's what God wants me to do. I can't say it's a faithful act. And people go, "Oh, you're so faithful." And it's like, "Oh, you know, don't go there." And you go, I tend to side with the people who think that doing these kinds of things is quasi-psychotic. And I feel compelled to do these things, not, you know, like I said, you know, I feel more like a dog than a man. And that rather than being an act of faith, it's more just an act of being thrown into a strange circumstance, and your instincts cause you to behave bizarrely, you know. But that's probably more likely what's happening. Is it controlled by God? I hope so. But yeah, is it a faithful act? I guess you could say that. I would proceed cautiously, you know. I throw myself at these things that I'm sure what most people would consider the least provocation at all. And it's difficult. Anyway, going back to Saturday morning, or going back to yesterday, to last night, sorry. Sunday night. I pay attention when things come to me in a lucid fashion. Lucidity is not typical for me at all. You know, left to myself, I stutter. I get caught on a word, trying to get that word done. You know, like I've always said, that I don't think I can ever be prideful, because in my natural setting, I'm such a pathetic person, you know, and it becomes really obvious that I've got that big problem, you know, that I'm not Superman on any level at all. That if I ever give people the impression that I'm like that, you can be somewhat assured that it is me channeling something else, God, you know, whatever. That's what's happening. I said, and if I get more and more lucid over time, it's because there's less of me happening and much more of other things happening. And I guess I struggle sometimes to know how I'm supposed to feel about that. And frankly, I guess I just do take that kind of quasi-Christian route of just saying, well, okay, if I'm more tolerated as a puppet of some other entity, then who am I to say, hey, wait, you know, I want more of me to be a part of this. And you go, every part of me that I've ever seen is either embarrassing or pathetic. And, you know, I don't know. So, we go. Whatever comes into the mind, we do. And I'm trying to get better at that. Not being so rebellious against it. I continue to remind myself over and over again that if any of my writing accomplishes anything. Because that writing is was injected a little with godly inspiration, you know, and it's come back, oh, Daniel's such a good writer, or, oh, he said that so well, and you go, it's not me. He says, I don't know why you're trying to shoot on me. You go, all it is God inspiring, God putting it in the head. If there's anything to be praised at all with my name, it is at least Jay somehow got it out of his fingers and typed it out. You know, and that's, you know, I shall only be praised for being a good stenographer, and not if you would see me type. My mom one time made some comments about my typing and what little she thought of it. And, oh well, you know, sadly those are the things that I remember the best in life, is things that were said probably off the cuff and just in a bad moment, or moments when people are feeling not good, not being taken in control of what they're saying. Those things are the ones that I tend to forget about. You know, it's sad. I guess that's why I need to keep these recordings and listen to them on occasion. Because, you know, things are hard. And you need to remember the good times when people are kind to you. People are kind to you. Think about a couple of them. Please don't bust me. And I don't understand why. For the life of me, I don't think much of myself at all. And I hope that doesn't come across as a boss humility thing. I really don't. I don't think much of myself. And the few times when I do, I'm sure it's almost comical for other people. And very quickly, I realize just how little I am. And that, anyway, but it doesn't matter. Lisa loves me, and I don't get it. But that's irrelevant. How I feel about it is irrelevant. What's important is that she feels cared for, that she feels taken care of, that she feels that I fulfill something that she needs. You know, that's what's important. I'm glad I can do that. It stuns me, but I am pleasantly surprised. I like to think I'm pleasantly surprised. I don't know. Mary Brown was talking to me yesterday before church started about how grateful she was for what I did for her husband. He's the branch president. You know, and I'm just saying, hey, I'm just doing my job. I'm supposed to take whatever weight I can. Oh, I didn't bring home the manuals. That stupid thing's there. I need to handle that today, sometime, wherever. And I have to do it while I'm on the road today. Whatever post office is open when I'm driving by, probably the one in the Irvine, I'll give them a throw. I truly don't ever have to deal with this stuff very often. Maybe Clayton, I don't know. Good morning. nice cheery people. That's great. You know, did I read the biographies of people of some accomplishment? And I guess they often have the same feelings I do. You know, and I guess on some level that's supposed to be an encouragement to me. It's like, well, I don't know, whatever. They seem to have as many trepidations about themselves and their life and why people treat them as well as they do, and they don't really understand it, and I can relate to that. Anyway. But yeah, just you have to set that aside and say, you know what, who cares how you feel? So, you know, people want, or people need, hopefully, something that you provide. That we are given, that how we feel about it is really, you know, I'm always kind of, you know, this is a waste of time to think about how you're feeling is immaterial in the face of what needs to happen. And as for the concepts of happiness and fulfillment and stuff like that, I'm probably the last guy to ask about that. I don't know. I struggle with these things myself, and frankly, if you'll say, oh, you need to be a good example of a Mormon, and you go, I feel like such a horrible example, that, I don't know what to think, you know, that I am a bad, who cares? Sorry. Yeah, I need to stop talking about it. So anyway, yeah, we're working on the Family Sovereignty book. I'm trying to think it won't be very big, but it's fine, you know. These things don't have to be large. Now that, because I put out as an e-book, and it doesn't have any physicality, it really doesn't, you know, I don't think its thickness, its heft, really matters in the end. In fact, the shorter it is, probably the more likely that it will distribute far and wide and be successful. I've been struggling more with my model of how I do things, that I probably need to offer a lot of my stuff for free along with selling it at the Amazon Kindle store. Because it really isn't about the money in the end, you know. It has more to do with getting this stuff written and getting it out there. Touch hearts, straighten minds, whatever. And the monetary feedback from it is really quite, you know, isn't going to be you know, if you say, well, to have means. Money's not going to be a problem anymore. Think about the money. I'm worrying about what your price point is going to be for Amazon Direct Publishing. Not worry about whether it makes penny one. It will likely be other things that do this. I mean, writing is a part of it. But, you know, so long ago, when was it? 94? It was almost 10 years ago. When I first read what Scott Adams, the cartoonist, wrote about affirmations. And I said, there's truth in that thing. You know. That if you're wanting something, and if you keep it top of mind, it'll come, it'll happen. It's a question of he'll be thinking, you don't even do much about it. What needs to happen to make it happen will fall into place. It seems like godly. Godly thoughts. Although coming from a different arena, a guy who is probably an atheist, doesn't believe in God, but saw a pattern. Well, the pattern's there. They might mistake its source. That's not as important as a recognition of the pattern. Putting it to use. So, way back then, I said, I need to forget how I put it. Speaker, lecture. I don't know the big difference between being a speaker and a lecture, but, you don't sit there and grouse about those things, who cares, and it was done like that, and I put an affirmation form, although, it is by the end of 1994, obviously, that hasn't really, that part fell apart, but let me tell you, it's a pretty big thing. To do things. I thought I'd always been to have Navigiri not be correct on this. You have to go to the Amazon store and pick up and buy stuff like that. But this particular book, I'm going to put it on the Amazon store. It seems like even stuff that you can normally get for free, people will still pay money to have it in a more convenient form. And that's predominantly the cause, that's the price you're paying for. The fact that I get a kickback from that, just fine, whatever, Otherwise, for people who are like me, who are willing to put up with a bit of inconvenience, like to call it the whole Linux factor, the fact that people are willing to instead of paying out money to put forth a little bit of effort, do something that's a little bit more difficult than pressing a button. That they can have for free, Because what's more important than taking money off of that thing, you didn't have the idea to profit off of it. you have the idea, in order to test people's hearts, in order to open people's eyes if you can, in order to do all these things. And that was the purpose for doing it. And anyway, so that's kind of where I'm going with that. So getting a little bit of myself, not written yet, although I think I've got the beginnings of a framework going here. I'm going to pop some more things into it, which is my want to do. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. The whole idea of, I don't know if Shetler wants to embrace such a thing. I really don't know, but in not knowing, I also don't know that they want to do that. You know, there's a searching for something larger to be about. They're seeking how to find a purpose, and I can help them get that. Beyond that, I really don't know. Put it in there, you know, and you throw it out there and you see what happens. And watch, pray, and you continue doing it, after any essays there, you throw the essay out there. You know, you may make a little edge to it later. I always feel like I need to later because I always find mistakes or find things I like to clarify. And then you move on. You move on to the next thing. And that's, I guess whether that's in essay form or in book form or whatever, you just continue to do it. And if you say, oh yeah, like I was talking to Lisa last night in my lucid period about, you have people who are writers, and in order to be a successful writer, you have to, you follow a formula. You try to figure out what people are up to. I said, if it seems like people are into vampires, the smart money is to write a vampire book, And writing is more about knowing your audience and writing to it and doing proper marketing and stuff like that. And I said, I'm not a writer. I'm not that kind of writer. I'm not looking for steady work as a writer, More like, if there's anything, I'm more like an academic in that, I come up with a book and I publish and throw it out there. But that's kind of a racket too. That's kind of a what do people care about and how are you stirring this up? And I think it was like some guy. I actually sent the Miracle of the Quilt off to a BYU competition. Or actually, it wasn't really a competition, but I got this wonderful letter back, and I don't know whatever happened to that letter. I fear it's just disappeared at some point from this guy who said, I really liked what you wrote, but I really don't know you know, I really don't know where to send it. We don't really have a forum for this kind of stuff. This is really quite different. And that's strange, because let me tell you, if any of my writing has any market appeal at all, it's going to be that book or that story for having a little bit of market appeal. Things I've written since then, you know, are totally in another direction, you know, and if that was somewhat unmarketable, I have not worked to make myself more marketable. You know, I'm going in a different direction. And it's almost kind of an Albert J. Nock thing. It's almost something that has to be discovered. He wrote, I've read very little of what he wrote, but what I have read, it was very, wow, you know. This is very, he talks about the remnant, and that he writes to the remnant, knowing that it will never be a commercial success particularly. But only a few people will ever read what he said. Read what he wrote. But that it's important to but that's who you're writing to. And I feel like I do that a bit, that if somebody picks up the book, or, you know, I guess I'm their little e-reader, and they read it, they should feel like that it's written specifically for them. You know, that it's not a mass market. I'm not talking to a million people. I'm talking to maybe a handful. And if it's happened to fall into your hands, and you've read it, and you feel touched by it, it says you are a small group. He said, I have not made any money off of this at all. You know, I think I've gotten one royalty check for like a little over $10. And that is the absolute end of my commercial writing success. Ta-da! And I don't write that way, and I have no intention of ever beginning to write that way. And I don't want to go to somebody and say, how can I be a successful writer? And you go, I don't, you know, if I inspire somebody else and they write the great American novel off of that, if they do something of an adaptation, or, well, you can't, they have to go beyond that, but good for them. If the principles and the concepts get wider reading because of that, I'm happy. That's really what's hoping to happen here. You know, a writer can take it and go with it. Where I feel like a guy like me, for which I have no word for it, a bum, shiftless bum, can at most be inspiring on some level. And that's, you know, that's what I hope to accomplish. You know, I can only think of myself as a strange tool, curious workmanship, and, you know, not to be particularly useful, except in a few circumstances, and insofar as hearts are touched through me, great. Says, but yeah, I don't know where it's going to ultimately go. If it ends up being, you know, maybe I'm totally off, which is probably right. You know, as much as I'm totally surprised how much Lisa loves me, maybe I can be surprised about that people find me interesting at all. And I mean, good things happen to me. I don't even anticipate good things happening to me particularly. You know, anything good things happens to me is because God makes them happen. And boy, if the last year gave any indication at all of how life is for me, you know. Apparently I'm good at writing a resume, but I'm really bad at an interview because I got lots of interviews after reading my resume. But it didn't materialize into a new job. And, you know, I'm not going to sit there and, you know, oh, I'm just so angry, things are going so bad. But I still got my job. I can still feed my family, at least for now, you know. And I'm grateful for that. And I can't come back and say, oh, you know, all this has to be because I'm great or something. I hope you don't get that impression. I would ever think any such thing. I am weird and odd. And people who are nice to me are nice because they're nice people. And we've got to be, you know, I'm always grateful for that. Always grateful for that that kindness that they show me and my family. We're a strange bunch. I hope we do well. I wish the best for all of us, but, you know, I also know enough about the world to know that, you know, it's only going to be in isolated and very kindly places that we will even be treated decently, much less, you know, well or kindly. Yeah, and I'm grateful for those things, those circumstances. So, things are moving, which I'm glad. I worry sometimes, and apparently, and you know, when I think back on the whole expansive thing, my dead times are often measured in basically days. You know, it isn't like months and months and months of dead time where it's like, well, whatever I had, it's gone. And I am left to destruction and despair. I'm really quite happy that this hasn't happened to me yet. I'm not precluding the fact that it will at some point, that some lesson must be learned through this method, and that God will see fit to allow it to happen. You know. And I hope I behave better during this shutdown. Badly, very you know, you read stories about wonderful people that no matter what happens to them, they never shake the fist of God. Very little happens to me, and I shouldn't fist. So I feel badly about it, and I have asked for God's forgiveness. And to a certain extent, I think I've gotten it, but, you know, who's to say? He can feel however he wants to feel, and he can react toward me as he sees fit. And all I can do is whatever happens to me, good, it's a blessing, bad, I probably deserve it, you know? And, and you can't sit and wonder about this stuff too awfully much. You know, it's simply, It's simply life. It's simply what is. And in all cases, God is just and right and even. And if I ever feel like he's not, that's my failing. And I have a lot of failings. Anyway, so things are moving for now. Let's stick with it while it's moving. You know, I know that there's plenty of times when it does move. Whole month sometimes. And just keep plowing away. This is Jason Everall.